be here tonight. I'm thankful for that song where it says, there on the cross he took my place. And I'm thankful that he took that sacrifice for me. Because with that, I couldn't be where I'm going. I couldn't be where I am today. You know, and then the next page of the song is, I know I'm saved. And I'm glad that I can say that I know I'm saved. And that's a really important thing in life, that if you don't know the Lord, that you need to really seek his counsel, and you need to be under as much preaching of the gospel as you can to come to understand what it is it truly is about. You know, living this life, it's not about doing what we want or going having fun all the time. It's about serving God and getting the word out to all those people who don't know God, that they know that the purpose of him is to go out there and serve him so they can be saved to serve the rest of this world. You know, because they don't think that's important, but what they don't realize is that hell is real. They don't realize that. They think it's a game, and it's not. It's truly real, and my heart is heavy tonight, and as I was going to studies, I told Derek, and I wasn't kidding. I said, you know, I really don't know. I really want to make sure that I got the word right, but if I get up here and I fumble, then you're going to get right up here and start preaching. He laughed. I said, no, you're serious. I'm serious. You know, so I'm just great, thankful to be here tonight. And I don't normally do what I'm about to do. And I'm not trying to embarrass nobody, so please don't take any wrong to it. But can I have all the kids come to the front row? 17 and under. Just come to the front row and just listen tonight. Focus on what's important. You know, I don't know much about any of you, to be honest with you. I know a little bit about some of you. But tonight, as I was studying, I thought my message was going to go somewhere else and end up going somewhere totally different. So I hope and I pray that I truly heard the word of God tonight, because I don't want to fail the word tonight. I want to say what the truth is, and that's what I need to do tonight. So about 3 weeks ago, I'm not good with the cell phones, and I'm not good with all this internet stuff, and I was on Facebook, on my wife's, and I was thumbing through, and you know when you see a video of somebody's, another video comes up underneath it. Well, I was doing that, and then there was one of Will Smith, the actor Will Smith, and he was talking about controlling of the mind. Now, I know that I have my favorite actors, and I don't put actors on a pedestal at all. They're no better than you and I. They just probably have a lot more money than us, that's all. You know, and I know that we all have our favorite actors. But do you think that you could, have you ever wanted to really be an actor? Do you think it's an easy job? I don't think it is. I mean, we look at the movie Tom Hanks when he was in Castaway. I mean, he had to have his mind set on losing that much weight for that movie. He had to lose probably 60 to 70 pounds. And he had his mindset, because that's what he does. He is an actor, and he put that in his mind, and he did that. And there is many examples we could give. Another one, when Will Smith was doing the remake of The Boxing. I can't think of the name of it, but yes, Ali. And he had to work out, and he said for 6 months, dedicated 6 months, nonstop. You know, there's movies where people have to learn different languages or different accents, and they put it in their mind, and that's what they do. You see, that's how we need to be with the Word of God. We need to get the Word of God in the back of our minds, because we know what's right and we know what's wrong. You know, I wrote down the definition of mind. It says the element of a person that enables them to be aware of the whole world, of the world and their experiences, and think to the field, the facility of consequence and thought. You know right from wrong. You go to a store and you steal something, you know it's wrong. So let's keep our minds on God where they're supposed to be. Now, and I'm not calling none of you out, and it's not only just for you, but it could be for anybody here. So tonight, if you're lost, what I'm going to read is a very simple, kids could read this and understand it, but I felt like this is what I was supposed to do. And it's just simple stuff. And when I mean simple, it's simple. And there's stories that you've all probably heard, and I hope you have. But I want you to understand what I'm about to read, how real it really is. I mean, I want it to really sink into your heads tonight about what I read about, how simple and easy it really is to understand, and why it's important to understand it. So if you want to follow, now I'm going to be jumping around to two different books, and I'm reading only like one or two verses from each one. So if you don't want to follow, I understand. But I'm going to start in John 3. I'm going to read probably 2 through 4, maybe 5. This would be the longest one. And here it's Nicodemus. He's talking to Jesus. And he asks Jesus, well, I'll just read it. It says, and I'm going to read 3, verse, starting at verse 2. The same came to Jesus by the night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no one can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, or I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, sorry. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered and said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Pretty simple. You have to be born again to get into heaven. It doesn't mean to enter your mother's womb the second time. It means that there is an experience that you will experience in the church house, or maybe it's at home. But when you hear the gospel, you need to take it to your heart. You need to really hold on to what it really, truly means. Being born again is the best thing that's ever going to happen to you in your life. I mean, it's the best thing. One of my kids got saved at 7 years old, and I thought 6 years old, that's pretty young. But they heard the gospel. Spirit got to them, had that conviction put upon their hearts. And they knew that they was lost. They knew that there was a separation between God and them. And not that we tell our kids what to do, or I tell you what to do, but when you come and hear the gospel and you see the gospel preached and you see the church and how it works, and you just know what to do, because once you get to hear the gospel and you get under that conviction, you just know that there's a separation, and you have to get on, you have to bow your head before God and ask him to help you, to save you, to do whatever it takes you need to do to be saved. And I'm thankful for this book that's been left behind. I'm thankful for those in this church who follow God. You know, and tonight, if you're here, or for those who are here, if God tells you to do something and I'm preaching, you get up and you do it. You know, I don't want nothing to not be done tonight. I want to leave here knowing that I did everything and said everything that I was supposed to say and do. I mean, this really at home just got on me, and I just wanted to follow the Lord. I'm going to go to John 3 and 16 through 18 is what I'm going to read. It says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his own begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent the Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. So God sent his Son down here to pay a sin debt for you and I, because you had to have the perfect sacrifice. If you look in the Old Testament, it talks about how they had to sacrifice the perfect animal. It couldn't have a limp. It couldn't have anything. It had to be perfect. And he sent his only begotten Son to pay a sin debt for us. He was perfect. He is the only one in this world that's never sinned in his life. The only one. And I'm thankful for what he did. And I'm going to go a little bit farther here. I'm going to go to Romans 5, I'm going to read 6 through 9. It says, "For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For sacredly for a righteous man will one die, yet preaventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commandeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." So I want you to understand that he came willingly to pay that sacrifice for you, for everyone in here, and for us that are saved. Man, it's one, I'm thankful he did that. And those lost, I want you to understand what he really, truly did. You know, we come to understand these things and how grateful we should be. And I want all these lost in this church to know that, oh, it is so awesome what he did. And he went through so much for us. And we need to get the most respect to him and always glorify his name. And I want each and every one of us here tonight that if you're lost, listen, truly listen to what I said. He died for us. He died for you, Derek, Jeff, my wife, Aunt Karen. He died for all of us, not just one of us. He died for people in Africa. He died for everybody. And I want you to understand that. He loves you. I can't understand how he could love so much after we don't do what he says. You know, he tells us how to live here, but, you know, we all step out of line. You know, I mean, how shameful we should feel. You know, but he loved us knowing that this was going to happen. How awesome that is that he would, if we repent, he forgives us. Ain't that amazing? I mean, I'm thankful for that tonight. You know, I'm very blessed in my life. But now I'm going to turn the page to reality of what it is that if you're not saved by the grace of God. And I want you to know that this is for real. You know, I don't know a lot of you personally, but I know some things about you. But let me tell you something. Hell's real. Your mom and dad and your uncle and your grandma can be saved. But if you're not, you're not going to be with them when at the end of the world comes. You're not going to be there. And this is how important it is. I'm going to read Luke 16, 22 through 25. "And it came to pass that the beggar died." And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham after afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in the water to cool my tongue, for I am tormented in the flames." But Abraham said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things." He was rich. This guy had everything. Everything. He lived a royal life. "Thou lifetime receiveth thy good things, and Lazarus, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is condemned." I'm sorry, I got that backwards. I'm sorry. Lazarus with the beggar and the rich man. So the rich man, he lived a very good life. Very good. Sorry about that. "Lazarus even things." See, let me start that over. "But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted by and by thou tormented." When he died, the rich man, if you go down a little farther on here, it tells that he wants him to go tell his brothers of what hell's like, because he wants them to be saved. He wants them to know that the truth of the hell is real. It's real, guys. I want you to understand that. You know, it's not meant for us. Hell is not meant for us. We are here to serve God, and we are here to not live this kind of life. We're here to be examples of people who don't know God. And the purpose of the gospel is for you to hear it, for you to be saved, for you can go out and tell people you know. Because the more we know, the more they're saved, the more that everybody else will know. And I'm thankful for that. I'm going to read Matthew 41, 13, 41, 42. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. See, when he comes back, he's going to separate the good from the bad. And you will not be with us. You will be in hell. And I don't want anybody to go there. I want to tell you that when I got saved, I feel like I should tell my experience. Everything I said tonight is real. I don't know who stands with God and who doesn't. But when I was 20, I think it was, I met my wife. I think it was, I'm not going to guess. We got married in 96, so 94, I think it was, I met my wife. And, you know, I was a punk, you know, met her, you know, whatever, didn't care about much. But her grandpa was a minister. He was the pastor at Salem. And so I always had believed in God. I always have. Never doubted there wasn't a God. But I thought that I knew him because I got baptized when I was 17. And there, if you just accept Christ, they consider that being saved. And so I got baptized thinking, you know, okay. Still not really understanding it because I was young. But when I met my wife and I started going to Salem, it was a whole different ballgame. Never heard Papa Holland preach. He was an amazing preacher. Amazing. And not that he was anybody, but he was Papa Holland. Good man. So I always went to church with Brian. And she said, if you're going to date me, then we got to go to church. And we always went to church. And I never had a problem with it. So I'd been going there for, I don't know, maybe 3-4 months. And I never been to church like this because where I was going, they would speak in tongues. And that's scary. That was scary. But when I went to Salem, man, you could feel the love. You could feel God in there. And I knew that I didn't have what these people had, not because someone told me. No one, if someone tells you something that like you're saved or lost, you know, that's between you and God. No one told me one thing. And I knew that there was a separation, but, you know, I didn't know what to make of it. Well, one night during a revival, I don't remember who was preaching, but I went on a Monday night, and I just had a normal service, you know, thinking what we're going to do after whatever. Next night, same thing. Tuesday night was a little different. Tuesday night when I got there, I felt like I needed to run right up to the altar. But I sat in my stool and in my seat, and I knew that I was lost. And let me tell you something, you will know when you're lost. I had a conviction come upon me that was so hard. Oh, all thing I could do was walk to the altar and cry and pray and ask him to save me. Ask him to do what I need. I need to be saved. At the end of it, service, I didn't feel any different. You know, I loved God, but I didn't feel any different. Next night was a Wednesday night, and that was a great night. We went to church, and I just knew I needed to go up there, but I didn't want to because I didn't know if it was rude. And they went to prayer at the end of the service, and I went up there, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I just kept praying. I don't know how long I was there. Before he knew it, I wasn't praying for Craig no more. I was praying for one of my friends who didn't believe in God. And I knew that burden had been lifted, and I knew that I was saved. I knew that I got saved that night. You know, and you can do the same. You can do the same thing. If you've ever had the burden on your, or that conviction on your heart, and you know that there's a separation between you and God, we don't know when the world's going to end, and it says that in the Bible. You know, it could be tomorrow, and it could be 10 years from now. I don't know. But lost sinner, and here tonight, if you don't know God and the free pardon of sin, you're sick. You're sick. And the only way to get better is by seeking God and being saved. If you're not saved, then you need to pray about it. You need to pray about these things and keep coming to church. Hear the gospel. Hear the truth. You can't hear the gospel and the truth at home when you don't come. Oh, but when you come here to hear the gospel, God speaks to you. When you get serious, he speaks to you. And it's the best thing you'll ever experience in your life. Oh, it's such a great feeling. And ever since that day, I never would give it up. It's something that when you get it, it's just an amazing feeling. You know that you're going to heaven. You know that you're in the hands of God and you can't lose your salvation. Oh, that's the greatest feeling I could ever know. You know, I can mess up because we mess up. But we can repent, and I know that God's not going to take my salvation away. And that is the best part about all this. You know, we learn as we live, but if we would learn just from this Bible, we wouldn't make near as many mistakes. And it's hard. And I want you to know that if you're not saved, this is real. Hell's real. You know, I used to work at a foundry. And I used to pour heads and make the metal, and it would get up to 2,800 degrees. And I wasn't no more than 3 feet from it at all times. And I mean, I got burns on my body from it, just little bitty ashes. And I can tell you right now, if you don't know what a foundry is, it's just hot metal everywhere. And it's like, if it's 80 in here, it's 110 in there, guaranteed. And it's hot, and that's what hell is. If you could actually see what I seen at Navistar, oh my goodness, guys, it's hot, and it's going to hurt. So please, tonight, listen to the words that it's in God's book. Listen to the words of hell and heaven. You know, God loves us all. He does. And he can be a God of wrath. And the Bible says that we should fear God. And I want you to understand, when you fear God, a lot of people take that out of context. You should fear God like you do your mom and dad. But you need to hold God higher. He will get a hold of you. He will. But tonight, I ask tonight that if you are lost, consider your condition. If you have that burden, that pound on your heart, or that conviction upon you, please don't put it off. Don't put it off, because you may not make it out of here tonight. You may not. And I don't want that. I love every one of you, whether I know your name or not. I love you. You know, and God is real tonight. God is real every day, and we need to put him every day in our life, and I want you to do that. God gave us a mind for a reason, and we need to seek that. We need to seek God like that. We need to seek him with everything we've got. I love you tonight. I do, and I pray for each and every one of you tonight that you would find God, that if you have that burden, I want you to come up here, and I want you to pray if you have that conviction. I can't save you. The bench ain't going to save you. Nobody's going to save you but God. This is open at all times. And I want you to know that God is waiting on you. He's waiting on you. You got to give effort. You got to meet his conditions. You got to serve him. Not me, not Derek. Just God. And through Jesus, we got to go through, because he sent his son to die for us. Thanks to Jesus, we have a way to heaven. So can we get a song, Brett? Listen, I pray tonight, if you really are lost, please come up here, or please bow at your seat. Please just reach out and get a hold of God tonight. Don't try to make no deals with him. Truly just bow your head and just fall into his arms and seek God. I can't tell you the words to say, but you'll figure it out.